Thank you very much.
Well, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Absolutely beautiful. You just can't undermine those words. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This is part 3, the final part of the eyes of your understanding, faith, and love. And these three parts, the first two of which I taught already, are a prelude to the eyes of your understanding in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for open hearts. Thank you for the avenues being unfettered that flow into each person's heart and life today as this word comes out. Thank you, Father, that you have free access to will and to do of your good pleasure in each person's life. Thank you for unharnessing your power and your blessings, and your promises, your word in each person's heart today as I teach this word. Thank you for their troubles, their pains, torments, whatever it is that tries to block your word, that they tumble to the wayside, and your word has free access, that it can get in there deep, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and can do its job as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you, Father, for what power we have as we speak your word, as we believe your word, and as we live your word, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. That is our theme verse and has been in also the past two teachings on this same subject. And you will notice it says in the Lord Jesus. When you see in the Lord Jesus referenced or believing of the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Jesus, any a preposition like that, it's talking about you made Jesus your Lord. And we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, all things related to Jesus Christ. This is not a command to go in and start talking to Jesus. We're never told to do that. The communication you have with heaven is with God in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's an interesting study. If you've never done that, I recommend that you do a little word search on phrases that relate to talking to Jesus. Anything you could come up with. And you'll see what I'm talking about, that it never tells us to talk to Jesus. It always says, use the name of Jesus Christ. And if you ever do find a verse that seems a little askew, then you need to go look at the Greek and then find out what the real Greek says. And you'll find out that it's back to praying to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're never told to pray in the name of Jesus. If you ever see that, then it's a translator's oversight. And if you go into the Stevens Greek text, you'll see that they left out Christ. I remember getting into a little interesting discussion with somebody many years ago. And I told them that we're supposed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He goes, well, you don't have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You can just pray in the name of Jesus. And I said, really? Well, where does it say that in the Word? And he opened up, I think it's in Galatians. He opened up to a verse and it said, in the name of Jesus. And so I said, okay. So I took the Stevens Greek text and I showed him and it said Jesus Christ. So you'll run into that too. So for what it's worth, in the Lord Jesus, believing in the Lord Jesus, you believe in his lordship. You believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and all that follows in eternity because of his accomplishments. And that's the verse that we're going to focus on. But the section, as a recap, that we are focusing on is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 21. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, if you stick with me on this, you're going to get literals according to usage of these verses. And they will greatly enlighten you. You'll read them, you go, oh my gosh, that's what that really means? Yeah. So, that's what's coming, but I'm not going to teach any of that yet. What I do want to do is recap a little bit on faith and love, because the context of these teachings are all the eyes of your understanding. And the bottom line is that we're supposed to have a different perception than our own when it comes to living our life. And God's enabled that through Jesus Christ. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll just hit a couple of these verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, we read, therefore, as you abound in everything, in believing, faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. We're talking about abounding, and those two characteristics, faith and love, believing and agape, are listed. We're to abound. These are tidbits, and you'll see them sprinkled throughout the epistles. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I mentioned earlier, not in the teaching so far today, but earlier in the meeting, that your Christian behavior is coal in your spiritual furnace of believing. And this is where it comes from, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, believing, which is energized by godly behavior. You just got to think about that for a minute. It said that believing is energized by godly behavior. So the more you focus on the agape characteristics in your life, and sometimes that's quite a challenge, but the more you endeavor to put those on in your life, the more energized is your believing. It just happens. I mean, you can be very active in that. And again, this believing, it's talking about with respect to Jesus Christ, the gospel, and all the things related to his accomplishments, not only as he did them, but as they apply to you. Like you receive benefits from what he's done. And then you manifest those benefits. You look like a Christian. You act like a Christian. There's things that take place in your life that other people can't have. And it all comes from your agape walk. It's fuel. It's coal in that furnace. And then Galatians 5, again, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is agape, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, believing. These are characteristics or natural outflows of a Christian, fruit of the Spirit. They should be plastered all over you. And so your life as a Spirit-filled Christian will be filled with the fruit of agape. It will be filled with the fruit of believing, if you so choose. Very, very important. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, the heart of your understanding. This is down inside your mind, your nous, N-O-U-S, Greek. It's the deeper part of your mind, which also is affected by the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We'll see that as we get into that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, and that's where it's supposed to be, that you, being rooted and grounded in godly behavior, rooted and grounded in agape. The importance of the agape walk is so underestimated. It's just almost unbelievable. I mean, I think we've been so privileged to learn about agape because I don't know anywhere else you can go and learn this. I've never heard anybody teach it, much less want to live it. That you being rooted and grounded in agape. Rooted and grounded in agape. And earlier we read in 2 Corinthians 8, abound in agape. These are messages that are sprinkled throughout the epistles. And that's how the people were. Ephesians 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and godly behavior with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was no light matter for these people to manifest believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the agape lifestyle. Colossians chapter 1. And if you notice in that last verse I read, peace is with it too. And so as you practice believing with agape, peace is going to come. Colossians 1 verse 4, since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and of the love, godly behavior, which you have to all the saints. Your believing and your agape should be heard about. You should be known for your believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you should be known for your agape behavior. That's really something. It's just all over. Well, that's part one. And then in part two, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember we saw that we're to abound in believing in agape. We're to be rooted and grounded in agape. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we learn, remembering without ceasing your work of believing and labor of agape, labor. So don't think it's easy, because it's not. When it says flee youthful lust, when it says abhor that which is evil, when it says cleave to that which is good. And those are dramatic activities where you really have to fight in your own life to become what God wants you to be. There's no easy way to do it. Your work of believing and labor of love. Work and labor. And patience of hope. Sometimes you just have to sit there and be patient. Patience of hope. Well, that's what makes it all worthwhile in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Wow. And I love this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The more I read this, the more I realize I hadn't really read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing and godly behavior. Believing and godly behavior are your breastplate. Protects your chest. It protects your heart. That's figurative. They're your breastplate. And you're to put these on. Can you imagine going into battle without any armor? No. Man, even today, those guys, the cops, police, they want Kevlar, and they want to use Kevlar in all the fighting for the army, and they give them something. It's just ridiculous to think that you'd go off into battle without any form of protection at all. No helmet, no breastplate, nothing to gird your loins, no protection at all. It would just be stupid. You would feel so stupid. You'd go, well, I got a gun, but I mean, what's going to stop a bullet? That's the other side of the coin. You would expect to have armor on. Armor's always been a big deal for battle. You know, where they use hardened leather way back when, and then they started using mail and other types of metal substances, but they did things so that people couldn't inflict harm on them. It's armor. You have to have armor. If you're going into battle and you're getting hurt, how many of you have gotten hurt this last week? What's your armor? What's your armor? Are you just going in there with the sword of the Spirit, which is great? I applaud you for that. But what about the armor? Are you going in there just buck naked, swinging a sword and hoping for the best? Or are you dressing yourself out a little bit? You know, sometimes they wore so much armor they could barely walk. They had to get so strong to be able even to wear the armor. They had to strengthen themselves just to get their bodies to the point where they could move with all that extra weight. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. These are sobering thoughts. These are sobering actions. Putting on the breastplate of believing and godly behavior. When you put on the breastplate of believing and godly behavior, you are surrounding yourself with impenetrable armor. So if things from the dark side are penetrating your heart, then you need to work harder at abounding, at laboring, at being rooted and grounded in agape. It always comes back to behavior. Always and ever. Isn't that crazy? Well, that puts the onus on us. I don't like that. But that's the way it is. But I don't like that. But that's the way it is. I still don't like that. But that's the way it is. So get sober. Sober-minded. Put it on. First Timothy chapter 1. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with believing and agape, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, grace is coupled with faith and agape. And that's the way God is. That's the way Jesus Christ is. And that's the way we're supposed to be. So we're challenged with a new order, an order of life. We're challenged to rethink agape. We're challenged to rethink believing. We're challenged to rethink our protection. There's a new order standing at the door. An order of love and faith, which communicates very little, but an order of accepting all of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ and related doctrines, and an order of behavioral change. None of us have a handle on it, but all of us know what the Word says. And so if you want to continue your life successfully as a more than abundant Christian, as a triumphant in Christ believer, then you will need to choose how much attention you put into labor, abounding, grounding, soberness, and cladding your heart and soul with the right kind of armor. That's your choice. But if you're tired of the pain, and quite honestly, I get tired of it, there is something you can do about it. Comes back to godly behavior. You can identify the parts of your life that are messed up, where you have your challenges, and identify which agape characteristic, usually one, that needs to be fixed or adhered to more eloquently, and then get busy and do it. And you'll see then that that fuels your believing, because you won't be held back anymore. You'll be able to move forward. You know, where we're told to, forgetting those things which are behind, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to do. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if we were to mark the beginning of part 3, this would be it. Well, I hope that that little recap helped refresh you in that subject and brought back the importance of understanding faith and love, but more properly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the agape lifestyle. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil, folks, but the love of money, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. There were rich believers back in the day, and some of them fell by the wayside because they loved money. They cleaved to it. It became their God. And it caused them to err from believing. You don't want anything to get you to err from believing. If you're spending your time abounding, laboring, grounding, cladding yourself with agape, so that your believing can blossom, so that it can grow, so that you can lay claim to the fruit of the Spirit, faith, a natural outflow of a Christian, supposedly. Why would you want to err? Why would you want to go into the darkness again? Some of us do that, where we err. We actually get pleasure by going back into the darkness for some reason, to satisfy something. But why would you want to err? You know what the end result of that type of err is? You are pierced with many sorrows. Now, how many of you are pierced with many sorrows? You don't have to raise your hand. But think about this. This is practical. But think about this. How many of you are pierced with many sorrows? Remember I asked you about the armor? You're warring, but you get hurt all the time because you don't have the armor on. Get yourself protected. That made sense. Well, what about this? How many of you live a daily life with sorrows? They're just there. You're not really happy. Just sorrows. And you feel like you're pierced with them. The world offers its love vessel of money, but it will seduce you if you allow it to, and it will prevent the manifestation of true love and faith. Verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, believing, love, agape, patience, and meekness. So you've got the world offering its love vessel. Oh, that's a great one. A love vessel of money. Come and love me. A love vessel. You ever heard of the love? What was the name of that? Love? Love Boat. That was one of David Ray's favorite shows. He just rolled his eyes. I've never seen you roll your eyes like that, Dave. I really hit a good one on that one. The Love Boat. So hokey, but it was a love boat. And it certainly meant a lot to a lot of people. But the world offers its love vessel of money. Come and love me. Get on board. I'll treat you right. And I'll get you so you covet me. You just want more and more. Well, the end result is that people err from the faith. Doesn't mean it will happen to you, but it could. And you know, if it has, I don't know. I do know of one other verse that talks about sorrow, godly sorrow, which worketh a genuine change of heart. It is possible to get your life so messed up that you're infiltrated with sorrows. Now, godly sorrow is one thing, but it affects change. And so that's a good thing. Godly sorrow. But worldly sorrow, that's not a good thing. Especially if you yourself are pierced through with many sorrows. And if you yourself are pierced through with many sorrows, then you better take a look at the money issue. That's what it says. And the only reason I'm teaching that is because it happens to be stuck with verse 11. I really debated on it because it's not agape in verse 10. It is faith, though, pistis. But verse 11 is pistis and agape, faith and love, the Greek words. And so we flee the love vessel offered by the world of money. And all of its consequences, we flee. Now that's as abrupt as you realize, you know, I've been going to battle without armor. I gotta stop. I gotta go to the store. I gotta buy it. I gotta get this stuff on. What am I gonna do? I gotta get this stuff on. I'm not gonna walk outside again without it on. When I wake up, I'm gonna put it on. I'll go rinse off in the shower real quick, then I'm going to put it on. I'm going to have that armor on. I'm not going to sit with that boss anymore or that person or that's in that situation without my armor. I got to put it on. That's abrupt. That's a huge change for you to labor and abound and ground and clad and all those attributes of preparation. It's huge. So is this. flee these things. Can you flee? Do you know how to flee? Do you know how to hightail and run? Do you know how to flee? That's fast. Do you know how to abhor that which is evil? Abhor just means to utterly push away. Ugh, you just shove it away. And to cleave to that which is good, that means stick like glue. But here it says, flee and follow. Flee and follow. Flee and follow. Flee and follow. Now, that's going to be your greatest challenge. Flee and follow. Do you know how hard it is to flee something that is luring you? Something that you covet? Be it money or whatever. Now we're talking principle. Flee and follow. Flee and follow. We're learning some great words. Abound, labor, ground, clad, flee, follow. There's some big, big words here. Life changers. Don't you love it when the word comes alive? It was a verse, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. It was just a verse. But look how it's coming alive. Because these parts amalgamate into you. They make you who you are. What you do with them and what you don't do with them makes you who you are. And we've addressed some very painful points too. Some points of injury and sorrow. You know, I often wonder, everybody always like tries to look like they're perfect. It's just so stupid. I hate it. And I always try to wonder, do they hurt on the inside? Are they going through anything? They act like they're not. And I can't believe that people don't go through problems. But we always try to put our best foot forward and try to act like everything's fine. But in the meantime, inside, we have sorrow, we have pain. Our soul hurts. We're dealing with things that we don't like. There's torment. I don't know. It's just kind of a funny thought I have, I guess. I'd be willing to bet that most people suffer. They hurt inside. Now, they try to act like they don't, and some days they don't, or some hours they don't, or maybe just some minutes they don't. But I think generally, everybody goes through things. Is that a safe bet?
Yep.
Everybody goes through stuff they really don't like. Anxieties, fears, sorrows, pains, afflictions. Is that a safe bet? If it's true, I think it's true. Remember, I just told you I always have a funny thought. But if it's true, then we could be onto something. Because then we could use the word as a leverage. In other words, implement it and leverage the benefit into our hearts and receive the promise. Well, I just thought that 1 Timothy 6:10 and 11 were amazing. And I really also thought that 1 Thessalonians 5:8 was amazing. The breastplate of faith and love. Wow. Maybe we have to make a choice to not go back into darkness. Maybe we have to choose that we won't go satisfy that thing and maybe we'll choose to flee and follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and so forth. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think you're getting comforted now. You're starting to feel that. It takes a while to break down those walls. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, all the stuff I've been saying for the last half hour, whatever. It's crazy how long it takes to get through. And there's just a lot of sediment that you have to sift through to find the gold. And you just kind of move it, and you move it, you move it, you move it, and all of a sudden you're there. I think we're getting there now. 2 Timothy 2, or chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. Any guesses? Pistis and agape, believing and godly behavior, which is in Christ Jesus. You're to hold fast. Once you attain this, you hold it fast. You hold fast believing and behavior. Titus chapter 3. People who live according to agape are very noteworthy people. Titus 3 verse 15. All that are with me salute you. Greet them that love us godly behavior in the faith. Grace be with you all. Greet them that agape us, the leadership. Greet them that agape us. I guess there were some that didn't agape them. I mean, I can imagine that. I know there's a lot of people out there today that don't even know what agape is. So they wouldn't know how to do it. They wouldn't know how to put away anger and wrath and puffed up minds and unseemly behaviors and so on and so forth. Well, they're very special people. Those agape people. Philemon. How many chapters are in Philemon? So should I say chapter 1? Okay. Philemon, verse 5. Hearing of thy agape, godly behavior, and believing, and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. There you have the reference toward the Lord Jesus. It's all that he represents. All that he stands for. He's alive and well in heaven. And you're his ambassador on earth. Their godly behavior and believing was so great that it was spoken of by others. And we're to manifest these two qualities just like they did. James chapter 2. I can't undervalue the importance of learning as much as you possibly can and applying as much as you possibly can about faith and love, believing and agape. They're not going anywhere. You can look up every usage of the word agape in the Bible. You can look up every usage of the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, faith in the Bible, and continue learning. It's so important that you get rooted and grounded in this, that you put on the breastplate of faith and love, that you labor to understand it, that you abound in it, that you clad yourself with it, that you flee the bad and follow faith and love. In James chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, pistis, believing, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that agape him?" It is a big deal. It is magnanimous. It's huge. We have a new directive. We need to revisit believing. We need to revisit agape. It's at the threshold of your life. Now it's up to you to learn what it means to abound in it, to learn what it means to labor, to toil in it, to learn what it means to root yourself in it, to learn what it means to clad yourself with armor so that you don't get damaged out there, to learn what it means to follow it so that your sorrows disperse, disband, and are destroyed. You don't need money to have believing. God promised us an inheritance if we'd behave in a godly manner toward him. Be rich in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be rich in your manifestation of agape toward God. Grace, peace, and hope complete the circuit, so to speak, of believing and agape. There will be times when you need them, so you should have them at the ready. Just like when you get out of bed in the morning, put it on. Put it on right then and there, believing in love. You can pray. Use the name of Jesus Christ. That's showing your acceptance that he is your Lord and that you're following the doctrine where you pray to God and you use the name of Jesus Christ. And you set your day that way. You can address areas in your life that you know you have weaknesses in, where you know that you should shore up the manifestation of godly behavior. You know you. Somebody doesn't have to come and tell you those things. You know you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and behave according to the Christian code of conduct. That's it simply. And don't hesitate to use these together. Match them up with grace, peace, and our hope is needed. Undeserved favor, peace. Sometimes you just have to be patient. I've had to do that. It's really quite an exercise where you sit there and you just wait while somebody else is doing something that you don't like, maybe. Just be patient. Hold your tongue. Quell yourself. Become diligent with your believing in Christ and behavior toward all, so that you become highly spoken of by others. That's the way it was in the day. And we read these examples. Let it be that way this day. Ephesians 1:15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." I think we're ready to get into verse 16.
great.
Thank you.
Yeah.